We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What time is Andy coming on? 10?
10, yeah. Okay. The time I put in the doc.
Easy, buddy. It's just called. I'm just confirming. That's called good producing.
Over-communicating, I know.
I'm not apologizing for that. So
you shouldn't apologize at all.
All right, Rod Stewart.
You're the best.
Okay, Rod Stewart, whenever you're ready.
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, baby, let me know.
Isn't that Rod Stewart?
That's him.
In the morning, don't say you love me.
Yeah.
Because I'll only kick you out of the door.
That's Rod Stewart too, right? Faces?
Yeah, exactly. Stay with me. I don't understand why women love Rod Stewart so much and sing all his songs back to him when literally he's just talking shit about them in every song.
Every song. Yeah. What is it? Maggie May too?
Yeah, Maggie May is like he's kind of talking awful about this woman.
Yeah, it's bad. I think we should do a Rod Stewart cold open. Boom, we got it.
Oh, it's trust me, it's there. It was there before this.
We got a lot of material for the cold open.
Let's grow. Welcome into Hand in the Dirt, a gardening podcast about football. We got Andy Staples coming on here in a little bit, but we are going to talk. It's fall. And for fall, a lot of people, that means PSLs. Fall also means the leaves fall off the trees. So we're getting autumnal show for you guys where we're going to talk about leaf removal and how to get those leaves and when do you rake your leaves. We're going to do all those things. And I get the chance to do it with my pal, El Cerberino.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. And of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen Hartzell.
Good day, good sirs.
Yeah. Good day, good sirs.
Nice.
Hey,
like that. I'm excited to get the staples, but first, I want to get through some rundowns because I want to get into leaf stories. And I'm going to have a hard time with leafs versus leaves and all that. So don't count this one against me, any English teachers that are out there. We are doing movie night tonight. We're taping this on the Friday before it comes out. On Thursday, we're doing movie night tonight.
What's the forecast tonight, Felder?
It's supposed to be 70 degrees.
Oh, beauty. So you're out on the porch or out in the driveway?
Okay. We're doing driveway, parking spot, movie night. I got the projector. I got the projector. I got the screen. We are... Right now, we're in between two movies that are available on demand. We're going either Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or we're doing, I think, Wizard of Oz. Is the second one?
Hang on. Is this the original, the OG Willy Wonka, or the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka?
Well, one is called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and the other one is called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay. So you couldn't just answer my question. You had to poo-poo my question by correcting me. With old versus new versions. I'm just trying to figure out which movie it is. That's all.
Yeah, dude. We're watching Charlie Bucket. We're watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We're watching those old-ass grandparents in the bed together.
Yeah. head to toe.
So I think that's what we're going to do, because I suggested Jurassic Park, but I think a couple of the kids are going to be too scared of Jurassic Park.
Of course you did.
Well, I want to watch a movie that I also kind of enjoy versus...
You do not enjoy Jurassic Park. You hate that movie.
Compared to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? What? I do enjoy it.
Are you going to bury Willy Wonka? That's a great movie.
I think it's fine for kids.
Well, come that's on. What this is for, Felder. It's not for you and your other neighbors to watch a film. This is for the kids, man. It's for the future generation. I think one of these is a slam dunk over the other, by the way.
What is it?
I think Willy Wonka dunks all over Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Wizard of Oz? Okay. Yeah. Listen, I don't. I've never seen The Wizard of Oz all the way through. When I was a kid, I was very scared of the flying monkeys because they were very bird-like. And
rightfully so. And that's horrifying. Yeah.
I obviously have a bird thing. But also, we talked about it last week on the show with Holly. Like, I'm terrified of birds, and I've smashed my face into bricks over birds.
Did you try to watch it all the way through but pass out once you queued it up to Dark Side? Is that what happened? You just kind of fell asleep in your dorm room? Is that how that went?
Yeah, after I got the seeds that I planted behind the radiator.
There it is.
Air conditioning unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, air conditioning unit.
Have you ever done that, Cerber, by the way? Did you ever cue it up?
Yeah.
Third Lion's Roar?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've done that.
It's real.
And frankly, here's another one for you. You may not know, but the Disney movie Anastasia, sync that sucker up with Darkseid. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That'll fuck you up.
That's a deep cut. I don't.
Anastasia
came out after Darkseid, though.
And it just works, man.
Yeah, which makes it a lot easier to sync up a movie.
No, that's not possible, though.
Promise you, man. I promise you. We were sitting there like, what is happening?
It's who's
it wasn't
Anastasia,
on purpose. It wasn't
Anastasia
on purpose.
What, Meg Ryan? Is that Meg Ryan?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's Meg Ryan, right?
Pretty sure. Let's look it
we
up.
Just watched, my wife and I just watched Top Gun last night.
That's a movie.
That's a bad movie.
It's not good. I mean, it is. We watched it last night, and she, you know how you can feel someone looking at you when you're watching a thing? She was looking at me like, this isn't good, right? And it's not good.
Oh, no, it's bad, dog.
It's fun and it's exciting. Sure. I think the what is it, Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, I think they handled the music very well. But they keep playing the same three songs over and over again.
Highway to the danger zone.
It's that. It's Take My Breath Away.
I hate that song.
Do-do-do. And I can't remember the third one, but they keep playing them over and over again. So, yeah, we watched that, but she kept looking at me like, oh, ooh. And listen, Kelly McGillis, she's great in the movie, I think. A little reckless for someone who's a flight instructor.
Mm-hmm.
A little reckless. But other than that, all good. Anyways, I have a bunch of stuff. I got updates. My peppers are still growing. Because we had this temperature spike, we got the peppers growing.
Well, I mean, it's going to be harvest time soon, brother, like any day now, right?
Probably in the next week. Yeah. I mean, I want to try to maximize and see how big they get. Once they start to turn a little red or something, I'll pull them off. But I've got 40 peppers growing.
Well, so Felder, is it not worth hedging our bets here just a tad and taking off one or two just to taste them and make sure that we're not overdoing it here on the
vine? Do I take the big boys off? And even though they might get a little bit turn into bigger boys, I don't know. This is my Hartzell moment.
I think you take off the biggest boy. Yeah.
I take the big. So I got one that's like 5 inches long.
Yeah, bro. It's called hedging your bets. I mean, this is
these guys and let the little ones continue to try to flourish.
This is gambling 101. You're already in the black here. You're already winning. But
I've been black my whole life.
we're talking a different black. My point is you're already in the profit. So you might as well just say, hey, let me just control this just a tad. Take one or two off, taste it.
Yeah.
because if you let this stuff go for another week, you might overripen all of them.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're giving me that good info. So I think I'm gonna take a couple off. I'll put them on the burgers tonight. We're doing pub burgers on pretzel buns tonight.
You making your own pretzel buns?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, pub burgers, like a classic pub burger, like, you know, like that big beefy patty on a with a little bacon, a little cheese on a pretzel bun.
What kind of cheese, man?
Sharp cheddar.
Heady plug.
What do you like? What do you like on your burger? You like a sharp cheddar?
I'm fine with cheddar. I also fucks with American. I mean, I don't look. I,
nah,
I'm just making
we don't
sure
even
you're not,
let that in our house.
Hang on a second, man. A nice Kraft single, preferably the white American cheese. I can't say no to that.
Of course you want some white and yellow. It's just dye.
Of course. I was going to say, of course you want the white American. He wants the white American all night.
This is a music episode for you. I thought you hated music.
Well, I don't listen to music anymore, but I know.
But you know David Bowie's Young Americans?
Yeah, is that like a deep cut?
Relatively.
If you're not a music guy, it's just not what comes to, like, I would not assume that's what you know.
Here's what this is. Felder
doesn't, David Bowie.
Felder doesn't do music like I don't do movies. It's the same concept. He knows. He just pretends not to know.
You don't know, though. You really don't know.
No, I know.
You don't.
I just don't watch movies, Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a mosquito in my basement.
Oh, it's coming for you.
West Nile.
You got that sweet blood?
I got him.
Oh, good kill. One shot, one kill.
He's just trying to live his life.
Not in my house.
Food chain, baby.
You got that sweet blood?
Mosquitoes are attracted to me and my family. Yes.
See, mosquitoes are attracted to my wife and my daughter, but they don't care about me at all.
Interesting.
I think it's the bourbon.
Yeah, they're like, don't fucks with this guy. He's drunk.
He will kill you.
He just flails wildly.
You're going to hurt yourself. But no.
Yo, that blood going to fuck you up, dog.
Listen, man. Listen. That blood's going to get you. It's going to get you.
That blood is 130 proof.
With respect to music, I used to listen to music a lot. I used to be heavy into music. Like, I'm deep. Like, love Bowie. Bowie was amazing. My wife, you know, my wife's favorite movie is Labyrinth.
Oh God.
Nights the Labyrinth. Do you like Ashes to Ashes?
That movie is scary, man. I mean, that's
her, babe,
that
the
Bowie
with the
body suit. With
yes.
The, oh, disgusting.
So we, once every 3 months, we watch Labyrinth.
Oh,
man, I watched that movie weekly as a child. That was hands down probably my favorite movie along with Wayne's World when I was
my
a
wife
kid.
Is my wife. So you and my wife would get along great because she also loves Labyrinth. And the only thing is she did not like your Asheville disrespect because she loves Asheville.
Listen, I used to love Asheville, but I've gone there one too many times. I got too many friends that live there. So I go there too often. And every time I go, I like it less.
Yeah, no. Every time I've gone twice, I didn't like it. She, oh, by the way, so we'll do a Kristen's corner right here, my wife's corner. She yelled at me and my friends when we were at the wedding that I was referencing in the last episode. She yelled at us, "Asheville doesn't want you. Asheville doesn't want you here," because it's a bunch of former college football players walking around. Going, tease out for the boys, tease out for the boys. And she was like, "You guys are gross." And I was like, "You know what? We are gross. Also, this place sucks. We're trying to liven it up."
I can relate to that. I that's a bit of a culture clash there. I understand where you're coming from, Felder. Like if you're walking around Asheville on a Saturday afternoon and you want to dip into a spot and watch games, good luck. Like
I just got a text from my wife. Just got a text from my wife. What if we did Labyrinth for movie night?
Oh,
yes.
Don't do that to the kids, man.
Why?
The final 30 minutes, it takes a dark turn.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, dude. When Bowie starts showing up and he's doing those things with the glass beat, the balls, I don't like
that. It's not. God, you're a baby. You are a baby.
Willy Wonka dunks on Labyrinth.
Well, my wife's gonna hear this, and that's gonna be this is gonna be the first time that my wife might become an MF-er instead of a heartbeat.
Listen, wow. But the thing about Willy Wonka is it's got that boat scene, which is pretty horrifying.
It's brief, though.
It doesn't matter. Like, a kid is scared, kid stays scared after that.
All kids die in that movie, except Charlie, right?
They don't die. Oh, yeah, they die. Hang on, they don't know. That's not...
Go to the source material of Roald Dahl.
Okay.
The Nazi?
And, like, they're not okay afterwards. Is was Roald Dahl a Nazi?
I'm pretty sure Roald Dahl was a Nazi, right?
I feel like he would have been called out for that by
all
now.
Right, well, in that case, Wizard of Oz all day. So, there you go.
Fucking anti-Semites.
Anti-Semitic. Not technically a Nazi, I think.
Well, what's the difference?
I mean, you're shaking hands at least. No, to get this back onto course, I got the winter greens in the ground. They look good. They're coming up. Also, my carrot is growing, which I'm very excited about. And as we just referenced, I'm gonna pull some peppers. I just want to give the peppers like two more weeks, Hartzell, so that I can get them. What do you have going on? What's Yaya got going on in her garden?
We still have peppers, and we have still got a couple of eggplants. I have talked to Yaya about what we want to do for the winter greens. She's been a little standoffish. I don't think she's made up her mind yet, but we're progressing. I mean, we still have, like, it is beautiful here, Felder. Like, you know this. You're a Carolina boy.
I know.
It's mid-October, highs in the low 70s. It gets it's down perfect. To upper 40s at night. Leaves are falling and falling fast. But it is, I mean, weather is 10 out of 10 right now. It's phenomenal.
Do you walk your dog?
We've got a big enough yard that I don't really walk them as much as I used to, you know? I also don't like walking with the kids because we walk at a ridiculously slow rate. I mean, it's frustrating.
My wife just said we're bringing the stroller back to walk to the park.
But you know what I mean? When you walk with kids and you actually allow them to walk, it is...
Takes forever.
I mean, I love them to death, but, you know, they stop and play with every rock, it's impossible. So, but I'm not living the city life like you are. So if I did, you have to walk them. So
the reason I ask is because that's how I gauge temperature for basically the day.
Yep.
Is the dog walk in the morning. Let's see what else we got. We're going to talk, guys. I don't know if you know this. We're going to talk about leaf removal. I cannot wait to talk about it. Before we get to that, I will say I upped my popcorn game with the coconut oil. It's a game changer. You got to try it.
We've done coconut oil popcorn. It's not for me, but it's fine.
It's not for you.
It's a richer flavor, right? Like it definitely elevates the flavor profile of whatever seed you're going with. Yeah, I respect that. I have no problem with that. It's just, it's not my preferred method. But
I did coconut. So we're going to do movie night tonight with Willy Wonka, probably, unless we do Labyrinth, which.
Gotta do Labyrinth.
We can't. I don't.
Why don't you go back to back?
Absolutely. If I'm going back to. I already talked to one of the other dads in the neighborhood. And if we do double feature, we are going to watch either Lethal Weapon or Predator.
Yes. Yeah.
Put the kids to bed. We got Lethal Weapon or we got Predator coming up. Hartzell, have you seen either of these?
No, I haven't.
Wait, what? You don't know Riggs and Murtaugh?
I've seen parts of Lethal Weapon. I've never seen Predator.
Oh, my
God. With Arnold?
I haven't
seen it. Arnold and Carl Weathers?
I haven't seen it.
So here's a story. So I listened to a podcast called Action Boys. Apparently, on the set of Predator, they were having daily battle. They used to, like, so everyone was exhausted on the set of Predator. How are they exhausted? Why were they exhausted? Because they were working out overnight so that no one else saw the other people working out. So they would all work out at night, like, individually, so that no one saw them work out in the morning or work out in the afternoon. And they had a bicep measuring contest.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, that's what it's all about. But, no, I love the coconut. I do coconut oil to cook the popcorn, and then we still go olive oil with a little sea salt.
Yeah.
And great.
How are you serving the popcorn tonight? You got to go bags, right? Or individual tonight, bowls? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to walk over to the store and buy some of those brown paper bags.
Classy as hell.
Brown paper bags, serve the popcorn up in the brown paper bags. And then everyone, if you have an entree, bring your own entree. They, last night they ordered pizza. I had already rolled out. My wife was like, do we want to just get pizza with them? And I was like, well, babe, I did roll out 8 fresh flour tortillas, homemade. So I think we're going to have the salmon tacos that I planned on having.
Salmon tacos. Very nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's a little salmon taco, a little sauce. It's all good. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's get into the leaf thing. Because – and the reason I put leaf blowing as the topic for this show, one, it's fall. Two, we have a massive leaf problem in our neighborhood, our little complex. We have these trees that have these tiny, tiny little leaves, these little oak leaves, these tiny leaves.
Yeah.
And they get in the house. They get in the walkway. They get in the garage. And that's why I bought the blower. My wife loves using the blower. And so let's talk leaf removal. Let's go top to bottom because we got Andy Staples coming on in about, what, 40 minutes, about 35 minutes. We got Andy Staples coming on. We're going to talk a bunch of stuff with him, including college football, but also we're going to talk about some grass, whether it's St. Augustine or Zoysia, centipede even. We're going to talk some grass with Andy Staples. But let's get into leaf removal. So let's start with, what is your tree situation in terms of how they give you leaves?
Cerber, I'll let you go first here because you're already fighting this fight.
Yeah, I got a lot of treats, so they just they give them to me in mass quantities all at once. My strategy for dealing with the leaves depends on where we are in fall and what the mowing situation is like. So,
okay.
But it always starts the same way. I have a gas-powered backpack blower.
Mm-hmm.
I strap that bad boy on. I get the deck blown off first, deck and sidewalks, anything at the house blown out. And then I go around the perimeter of where can't I get the lawnmower, and I blow it away from that area. So
into
the lawn so that the leaves are in the lawn. Now, right now we're still in mow season. Like, we still need to be mowing weekly here. Maybe it's changing to bi-weekly as we speak, but what I'll do is I will just mow. I'm not concerned with straight lines, parallel lines. I have straight lines that go in a circle as I make a circle around my yard. And I blow all the leaves into the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a huge pile in the middle that gets mulched up and blown. And then I just bag those up, take them up to the curb. Now, when mow season ends, I attach the bagger to the mower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I roll through, and I do the same thing. I blow them away from the house so that I can get to the mower, and then I just bag them all up with the mower, take them up to the sidewalk. But the key thing is, first step, blowing the leaves away from the house so that they're easily accessible. Because you're
get
never
them in the
gonna,
open.
Yeah, get them in the open. Get them away from where they're going to stay for an entire year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I handle the leaves. It's just walking around the yard, the entire perimeter of my very large property, blowing leaves with that backpack on will wear you down. And then when you are carrying said leaves from middle of lawn up to the curb, will wear
you
out.
Bag them and put them on the curb.
Yeah, it's tiring.
You're bagging? You're not burning?
I'm inside the city limits.
Oh, boy, you hate to see it. You hate to see it.
Okay, Hartzell, so you're a burner.
Well, I didn't used to be, but I remember when I moved out here to the country, one of the first things I asked my neighbors was, so how often do they come and pick up your sticks? And they were like, son, ain't nobody coming out here to pick up your sticks, all right? You better burn them bitches. So I don't have a burn barrel, but we do have a fire pit, and yeah.
Cerber does it.
Well.
God. True story.
Got him. So yeah, man, we burn not religiously, but as needed throughout the next couple of months. I will say this, Cerber. It sounds like you. I too am a backpack blower mm-hmm. guy, and you've got to start that process now. You can't wait until like November 1st to be like, all right, I got leaves everywhere. I'm gonna blow these things because it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, no, you. Like, I'm doing that already. Yeah, exactly. You start in October with that. It becomes a part of the yard routine.
Now, okay. I will also chop them up in the mower. I will let them break down in smaller pieces, and I have no problem leaving them on the lawn, okay? But I can't leave the full leaf on the lawn, because it will eventually, you will see no lawn. I mean, I've got a backyard surrounded by all kinds of trees, and it will cover the backyard. So I've got to chop them up and mulch them. I haven't hooked the bagger up to the riding mower yet. That's coming. But Serber, do you have the dual blades under your mower? Because there's a certain type of blade you're supposed to have for bagging attachments on a riding mower. I haven't done that, and so I don't get the suction on these leaves that you're supposed to with the two smaller blades that are going underneath there. Do you know what I'm talking about at all, or no?
No, okay. I have two blades under my mower.
Okay, well then you're already set, because I've only got the one, and with bagging attachments, you're supposed to switch out the blades and go with the two smaller ones. So you're already a step ahead of the game.
Well, no, my mower just takes two blades.
Okay, all right. Well,
might be a deck size thing, honestly.
Either way, I'm trying to up that in the winter, but I'm not there yet. Felder, do you know how the landscapers do it in our neighborhood? Like the people who are paying for lawn care, you know how they're handling leaves?
Do they rake them all to the curb and suck them up?
No, that's city. Ooh. They do that. Now, I've never actually seen the vehicle that drives around and sucks up the leaves. I've seen the piles of leaves that have sat there for months at a time. I've seen that. No, the folks that are living the bougie life down the street, their landscapers do a giant tarp, probably a 30 or 40 foot tarp.
You're in my pocket. This is what I wanted to get to.
Yeah, and they blow them all into the tarp, and then they just whisk them away. They literally take them so that they are not coming back.
Yeah.
Now, I've never personally done that, because I guess the only place I could take them would be like into the side yard, like take them into the woods.
You got woods behind your house, right?
I got woods everywhere, yeah.
So, yeah, you could just throw them over the fence.
Yeah, but the backyard is fenced in. I just said
throw it over the fence.
You're talking about a ton of leaves, dude. I can't throw it over the fence.
So I didn't even know about this tarp method until I had to. Goodness, this is like fresh out of college. I'm probably 23, 24 maybe. And me and my boy Sean, he had to rake the yard before we could go out. And so I was like, all right, we'll tag team it. We'll rake, get this yard completely raked. And then we'll take showers, and then we're going out. And so I helped him, and we just blew the heat, one blower, one rake, but you blow the leaves and rake the leaves onto the tarp, and he just dumped it over his fence into the natural area behind the house that led up to the creek. So I started doing that as well in the natural area behind my mom's house, which is where I lived at the time. And I was like, you know what? I don't have a big tarp. You know what I do have? I have a sheet. I have my college sheets that I'll never use again. And you rake those leaves onto the sheet. You grab the four corners. You drag it out there, and you throw them in the natural area.
Yeah. I mean, it. Now, quick question. How would you pin the sides of the tarp?
To the ground?
When you're carrying the tarp to the place that it needs to go, that's a two-man job. Yeah, see, these tarps are too big. What I'm seeing is like a group effort.
It's a group. Okay. Well, I didn't have a group. I had a solo. So maybe I make two trips instead of their one trip.
Okay.
But yeah, no, you do that. I did that in our house in Charlotte. I also went with I actually had a tarp. You go tarp method, and probably not as big as the tarp that the professionals are using, but you do the little stakes in the ground to make sure that the leaves go on top of it instead of under it.
Yep.
You pull the stakes up. You go corner, 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 drag it to the natural area, and dump those bad boys out. We are fenceless, so I didn't have to hoist it over, but certainly got that done. I will say this also, using the blower on leaves, I'm so, like, it didn't occur to me until I was probably 32 years old, 30, 31 maybe, because my dad never let us use the blower for leaves. We always had to rake them.
Was that like a punishment? Because raking is, I mean, horrible. If you're raking anything that's even remotely wet.
It's like 10, you have to take 10 strokes for what should be one stroke.
Yeah, and we actually got a new rake last year. We got one of those big old double wides. Like the
wide boy.
Yeah.
Plastic?
Yeah.
Heavy duty plastic, yeah.
Because I've always been a metal rake guy. And I'm I can't do this shit anymore. Like, I just can't.
Metal rakes are so, like, metal rakes also puncture the leaves, and then the leaves stick to them.
That's a good point.
You got to go with that big plastic wide boy.
Well, we have invested in the plastic wide boy, and I look forward to using it over the next couple of weeks. But look,
plastic wide boy.
I'm good with mulched leaves. Like, mulched leaves on a lawn.
It's good fertilizer.
They're fine. Yeah, they're great. The problem is, if you allow the leaves to build up, if you go weeks without taking care of the lawn or the pile, right, wherever the natural piles of leaves are occurring, you know what's happening underneath those leaves. Everything underneath it is dead.
It's turning yellow.
Yeah, it's dying. So
So obviously we work in college football. And excited to talk to Andy Staples here in the next 15 minutes. But we obviously work in college football. So what I didn't do yard work during college football season. I didn't, and I don't. And so my thought process was, why rake every week when I could just rake the one time once all the leaves are off the trees? And it's the first year that I'm a homeowner. It's the first year that we live. The neighborhood that we live in Charlotte, it's in South Charlotte. It's about, I don't know, 4 minutes from Quail Hollow. It's an established neighborhood.
Yeah, big ass old trees everywhere.
Everywhere. Huge trees everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let all the leaves fall because I'm working. I'm working on Saturday. I want to have my Sunday. And no, listen, this is no bullshit on – what is it, like December 11th, 12th, whatever day they do the Heisman in 2015, right? That's when we bought the house. I'm out there. I'm listening to How Did This Get Made, another movie podcast. I listened to eight hour-long episodes, hour-and-a-half-long episodes, raking by myself. I'm enjoying myself.
You're wearing gloves, right? Because you will destroy your hands. Yeah,
that's of course. Listen.
Yeah.
I told you what my grandma said, right?
No.
I was busting up. My grandma needed to get a new mailbox installed, and I had to bust up some concrete and dig out the she had one of those mailboxes that has the flower pot around it.
Okay.
So I had to saw through the flower pot, open up the flower pot, take all the flowers and the soil out, then dig the mailbox up, bust up the concrete, and I'm busting up this concrete, and my grandma said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "What's wrong, Grandma?" She goes, "Put these gloves on." I said, "Okay." She goes, "Girls don't want to hold no rough ass hands."
That's phenomenal.
That's my grandma, and this is RIP. I love her. So no, it's of course I had on gloves. I'm out there with the gloves on. I got shorts on, gloves on, got the hat on, headphones. I'm raking. And by the way, shout out to cordless headphones, because there is nothing worse than that jarring effect of you have the corded headphones on and then like it gets hooked around the rake or hooked on a stem or a branch or something, and then you go to yank up and the headphones yank out of your ears and you're like, wait, but my hands are covered in grossness. Well, how do I touch any of this stuff? It sucks. So yeah, no, I've raked, but I basically, here's the point, 45 bags of leaves.
Oh.
Doing it all at once. So I agree with you. I agree with Cerber. It should be an ongoing process when it comes to leaf removal from your property, because it's much easier to do 2 bags here, 3 bags here versus 45 bags of wet leaves. And by the way, wet leaves don't blow.
No.
Wet leaves don't blow. Do you blow wet leaves? Maybe I just don't have a high-powered enough blower.
I mean, you can with the backpack blower, Serbs, but it's – I mean, you're kidding yourself.
Like, I was agreeing with you guys. I think I misunderstood.
Yeah, I did. I was like, wet leaves don't blow. All they do is, like, they flop around like salmon.
Yeah.
They don't go anywhere. They just, like, turn over, and then I'm turning back over, and then I'm turning over, and I'm turning back over. Bye. You're going to need the rake for this.
Yeah, and it's like you can literally pull something raking. Like you can your obliques, like you'll be sore. By the way, shout out to the Blitz. I'll just plug it here because a lot of people do yard work on Saturdays, especially early, because they're like, I'm gonna wait for the CBS 3:30 game. I'm gonna wait for the for Herbie and Fowler at 7:30 on ABC. Folks, there's a show. It's a Red Zone Whip Around show for college football. It's on Saturdays from noon to midnight. It's called The Blitz. You can listen to it on the College Sports Now app on TuneIn. You can listen to it on Sirius XM, ESPNU Channel 84. You don't have to miss anything. Put that in your headphones while you're doing work. That's all I've got. There you go. That's the plug.
No, you're spot on. I'm going to be listening to it because I have to drive back and forth now because I got to do a Saturday show starting next week. When this episode comes out, starting this week.
Welcome.
Yeah. So listen, we're living the same life.
That's going to be a giant change of lifestyle for you, man.
Yeah. They set me up with a viewing zone in our executive conference room.
That's good.
So I'll be able to watch the games. And I figure once we get to halftimes on that first round of games, then I'm going to throw on the Blitz on my drive home, my 15-minute drive home to make sure I don't miss something. And then I'll be home ready to work.
56 minutes out of every hour, live play-by-play. Only 3 commercial breaks an hour. I mean, that's
oh, mama!
and Toby Rowland. Although at this rate, Oklahoma's unranked, so I don't know how much Toby you're going to be getting.
Well, what do you think happens? I know we're going to talk a little college football with Andy Stables, but what do you think happens? And this is the best part of shooting a show a week before it comes out. Nobody can say that we're hedging anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens with Oklahoma and Texas? This is going to come out after Oklahoma plays Texas, but what do you think happens?
I think Oklahoma wins.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I think Texas wins. I think Texas is going to win. I think Oklahoma is so flawed, and I think they're so beat up mentally. I just don't know that they get off the mat.
Well, I think both of these teams are damaged goods, okay? I mean, both of these teams have got issues. I think it's going to be 55-48, and whoever has the ball last is going to win. What's great about the game, Felder, is that I'm not nearly as emotionally invested in the outcome as I would have been otherwise, right?
Yeah. Well, I literally, when you said both of these teams are damaged goods, I'm sorry, I went down like a what is it? Who played the Jared Leto? He got he got damage tattooed on his forehead.
In real life, that happened, or
yeah.
Why would Jared Leto do that?
I don't know. He's an idiot.
But he's an attractive. He's an attractive looking person. Why would you tattoo something on your forehead?
He's beautiful. Now I have to actually look it up.
That
Jared
can't
Leto
be.
Damage tattoo.
That can't be.
I want to see him in regular life with this tattoo. David Ayer said the tattoo was one step too far. Suicide Squad. That movie was not good.
Nope, hate to see it.
I don't think he has it in real life. Maybe it was a makeup thing. I don't know. If you know, write in. Tell us about it. I don't honestly care enough about these movies. Oh my goodness. All right, back to leaf removal. So I went over. So if you had to say, I guess this is what we're going to do. So we've already talked about doing it on routine, right? On a week to week basis or every other week basis, removing the leaves. I've obviously shown you guys some of the horrors that I did, which were leaving all the leaves up and then bagging 45 at one time. And like to the point where, because bags come in 30 packs. And then I had to go to the store and get new bags to keep bagging these leaves. Now, I will say this. If you live in a place or you have a lawn guy that has the vacuum truck, it's a different type of heaven, Hartzell.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But like the city of Winston-Salem apparently has these trucks. And what I will see over the next couple of weeks and months are these massive piles get pushed out to the curb. They're blown out to the curb or they're dropped off out of the curb. And I'm talking like the nicest neighborhoods in town, right?
Yeah, it's like a little barrier, right? It's like a levee.
Felder,
in front of the house.
Felder, they will sit there for months without getting sucked up. And my buddy who lives in one of these nice neighborhoods said when they were kids, now this is fucked up, but I love it. When they were kids, they used to put bricks and cinder blocks in the bottom of those piles because people were driving through and like spreading them around.
Yeah.
And like running into them and stuff. And that's a dirty ass game. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can. Because they're driving through and busting them up, and you have to go out and redo the pile, and you want to, listen, those people might need to pay.
Well, apparently back in Buena Vista in the late 80s, that's exactly what was happening here in the Dash. So,
no, I've got an independent lawn contractor who I guess I'm paying him pretty well because he didn't have a truck originally, and then he bought one.
That's an amazing fancy term for a landscaper. What was that again? Independent lawn contractor?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I respect my guy, Ishmael Samoya. Shout out, baby.
My name is Ishmael.
Doing his job. Killing it. He bought a truck. And watching them, he's like, you don't need to bag. Just get him to the curb. He's like, my guys can get him to the curb or you can get him to the curb. Either way, it's fine. You blow those bad boys out to the curb and that vacuum truck comes through and just is like, sucks them all up. It's unbelievable. Why is that not happening all over? I drink your milkshake. I drink it all up.
By the way, I butchered the opening line to Moby Dick. It's call me Ishmael, not my name is Ishmael. So I'll just go walk off into the ocean. So
that's okay.
Do that.
No, it's not okay, man. I'm an English major. I'm supposed to know literature, and I butchered the opening line to one of the greatest American novels of all time. It's fine. You're having a better day than me. It's fine.
Wait. Is Moby Dick an American novel?
Yeah, Herman Melville is an American writer. Yes.
Well, there you go. Listen, that's better than I thought it was English.
No, he's an American. Yeah. He's a Yank.
Because when I think of American writers, I think Faulkner. Obviously, I think Steinbeck.
Yeah.
What is Jack London's American? Correct.
Believe so.
Vonnegut.
Kurt, sure.
Obviously, Baldwin. Yeah. Yeah, Vonnegut's from Indy. Wow, he looks exactly like the guy that owns the Colts. What's his name? Jim Irsay?
That's the guy who's got a pill problem, right?
Yeah, they look very similar. God, guys, are we a literature podcast? Welcome to the top literature podcast on the internet.
Literature.
What's your favorite book?
Of all time?
Yeah, let's do this. Like, what's your favorite classic, and then, what's your actual favorite book?
Probably Grapes of Wrath, Steinbeck.
Oh, man. Dead Grandma on the top of the buggy.
Yeah, that and the ending is, that's probably it for me. How about you?
Ooh. I think my favorite, Steinbeck, that's a really good one. I really love Cannery Row from him. And Monterey is really good too. I think if I'm picking one though, I think I go As I Lay Dying. That's Faulkner.
Yep.
I think I go, that's my favorite classic, but I think my favorite book probably is what's the Where the Red Fern Grows, the dog book.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Cry. Cry.
It's brutal,
cry.
Right?
Yeah.
Cry.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's very dark.
Server?
I would probably be either, and I have some issues with this person on a personal level, but the writing's really good. I would either say Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead, or Ooh. Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird for the classic. Good. But and that would be very close to citing. And then just like favorite regular, like not a classic book. I don't know if it counts because it's an autobiography, but Life by Keith Richards is really good.
Heady.
Boom. Hey, look at that.
Oh, guys. Or No One Here Gets Out Alive. The Morrison. Morrison. Yeah.
Also dark.
Nice. Very dark. I think there's like, I like Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. This is like YA fiction, but like, it's a really good book.
Thanks for not making fun of me about Goosebumps a couple years ago, by the way. That I was waiting.
Well, you said you read Goosebumps in high school.
Yeah. I misspoke. It happens.
I was like, you're a high schooler reading Goosebumps?
Never forget.
Oh, man. So for those of you that don't know, you got to go back to, what is it, the season opening episode of College Sports Now?
It was within the month of October.
Yeah, it was October. It was a Halloween episode. Yeah, man.
Yeah, Halloween episode 2018 where I basically referenced Goosebumps titles. I got, 18 Goosebumps titles into the episode without Hartzell ever recognizing it.
Yeah, you kept talking about how Clemson's defensive line had monster blood, and you were talking about all these random, you know, metaphors and just very descriptive ways of describing, you know, college football. And, it never clicked until the end.
They've got werewolf blood.
Oh, my God. I'm pulling up the titles now. I'm just looking for the titles. Oh, my God. The title's up. Where's the books? I can't find the books. I want the books. Oh, my God. I mean, it was great because it was just like – it was so – that was a good Goosebumps books. It was great. We had a good time.
What about the Wishbone books? Did you read those when you were in high school, Hartzell?
No, I don't know about those. All right. I used to fucks with some Hardy Boys, though.
Oh, I love Hardy Boys. Oh, this is we're squarely in reading corner. You guys have deer time at home when you were growing up?
I don't know what that is.
Deer, DEAR, drop everything and read.
No, we had Book It.
Yeah.
Well, Book It was a separate thing. Book It was what? That's Pizza Hut, right?
Oh, personal pans.
Yeah, I don't think we paid for Pizza Hut for a long time because I was killing it on Book It.
That needs to come back, by the way. Why can't we do that?
I don't think it's gone. I think it exists.
Yeah, but Pizza Huts are gone.
Yes. Especially eat-in Pizza Huts.
Shout out to the Pizza Hut Buffet, man. If you can find it, that thing still jams.
You guys want to hear about Pizza Hut Buffet before we get to Andy Staples here in a little
bit? Yep.
Dude. So I – there was a time before I got hired at Bleacher Report, and I was writing freelance, and I was doing high school football for $500 a month. And then whenever the freelance checks came, which they can take from, they can pay you in 2 weeks, or they can pay you in
six months. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a nightmare.
Yep.
But I was like, man, maybe I'll become a Pizza Hut delivery driver because I can still write and also just deliver pizzas. But I used to go to the reason I came up with this idea is because I was at the Pizza Hut Buffet, which is like, it literally was like half a mile from my house. And I would go to the Pizza Hut Buffet.
And we're talking lunch buffet, right? Because dinner buffet was a little bit 100%. More pricey. Okay, just
lunch. Yeah. 100% lunch buffet. I would get a bucket of beers. I could walk there. I would get a bucket of beers. And they do 6 beer buckets, not 5 beer buckets.
Respect.
I get a bucket of beers for $11. Which is an insane price. By the way, guys, if you guys didn't know that, Pizza Hut has Bud Light.
Yeah, if you can find a Pizza Hut.
Right. So I go Pizza Hut Buffet, and I go, so it's like a $3.99 buffet for lunch. a bucket of for $15. I got six beers and the Pizza Hut buffet, and it was it's amazing. It's an amazing deal. It is great. Like the fact that Pizza Huts are becoming Domino's now, basically, it's bad. It's bad. Pizza Hut used to, remember when they used to have the what was the arcade game? They always had the same arcade games. Two arcade games they had. Ooh. The Neo Geo.
Oh, yeah. I thought I played a ton of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Pizza Hut, but I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, those guys were probably those guys are big pizza freaks.
Pac-Man, well, Galaga.
Pizza Hut had direct product placement in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, too.
Yeah.
So correct. There was probably some cross-promotional thing there. Hey, I want to – man, I have thought fondly of a pizza from Pizza Hut for a long time that no longer exists. They had it for like 5 or 6 years.
Is this
it was
the
called
Trump
the
pizza?
Big New Yorker.
That's the Trump pizza.
God, is it the Trump pizza?
I said that as a joke, and you delivered.
It's the Trump pizza? Was he in an advertisement or something?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't give a fuck about that. You know, Trump, nobody knew Trump was a racist, misogynist piece of shit on the whole, anyways, back when that happened. But the Big New Yorker was awesome because it was in between a hand-tossed and thin crust, somewhere in the middle. And instead of the Bobo ass sauce, they use that sauce that you dip your breadsticks in, which is right. The best dipping sauce of any of the fast food pizza joints.
Yeah, I just sent you guys the link.
I long for that pizza.
Just make it at home, man.
That's a lot easier said than done, Felder. Come on.
What do you mean? I make pizza every Wednesday. It's easy.
The Big New Yorker. Good for you, Cerber. You're allowed to wax nostalgic about that stuff, man. Respect.
Man, fuck this guy. Can I just... All right, I'm done.
Yo, but seriously, in all
really
seriousness...
Really the horror of Camp Jelly Jam.
Pizza Hut lunch buffets, they are rare. It is a unicorn. Very rare. It is difficult to find. Having
Won't
said that...
Won't go there ever again anymore.
Go... The right way to do this, you get you a salad or two on
really?
The front end. Yeah.
Why?
Get a salad or two. Mm-hmm. Then you go hard on the pizza slices. And of course, when you're all done, obviously you wash it down with some CineSticks. That's $4 well spent.
See,
Why are you waste
any time on the salad or the CineSticks. I'm trying to see if I can eat 9 pieces of pizza.
Yeah, well, it makes me so mad when people go to places where the food is awful and they try to pretend like that. Well, I'm going to get a salad.
I'm healthy.
I'm going to start with a salad. Fuck that. You went to the pizza buffet.
Shout
That's
out to my friends and I in high school. We used to go to CeCe's, okay? Remember CeCe's buffet. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about next level buffet.
That's $2.
I got a CeCe's literally 3 minutes from the house. Talk to me, baby.
We would have pizza eating contests. And we would see who could eat the most slices by saving our crusts, and we'd count them up at the end.
Yeah.
But then we took it
to take it to the next level. Let's go.
Then we would take it to the next level by writing messages with our pizza crusts on the table while we were leaving the store. And
they
were usually something to the effect of "fuck you, CC's." Yeah.
Yo, I got
I
a
love
pizza.
Diarrhea.
I have a pizza eating contest, which may not land with you guys because I don't know how much wrestling you watched when you were kids.
None.
Felder, any for you?
My mom still has a Stone Cold Steve Austin poster in my bedroom at her house.
Okay, so you might know this because this is actually WCW. And this is like after the fall of WCW. I went to Pizza Hut in King, North Carolina, not realizing that there was a promotional event that night. The promotional event was Buff Bagwell from WCW was going to be there greeting fans and having an all-you-can-eat pizza-eating contest where the winner won Lord knows what. I guess they got to be put in a headlock, and he was signing autographs. It would not be as sad as I just described, except for the fact that no one came. No one was there.
That's
like
not good.
Me and my dad got there because single dad, let's every Friday night go to Pizza Hut because we can eat good for dinner and have lunch tomorrow.
Respect.
All with one meal here. And yeah, we were the only people there. And, like, I knew who Buff Bagwell was. Granted, he's a nobody, like, on the wrestling scene, so it wasn't like, oh, my God, The Rock. It was like, oh, that's Buff Bagwell. I haven't seen him in about 3 years.
Oh, my God.
No one was there.
Shout out to King, North Carolina. No doubt, yeah. Man. Right at the base of Pilot Mountain. Pretty country up there, man.
I'm more of a Hanging Rock guy myself.
Of course
but,
you are. Yes.
Really?
Of course you
You're
are.
You're a Hanging Rock guy?
I love Hanging Rock. That's our camp. They got better camping at Hanging Rock. And plus, they got the lake.
Marshall, you camp?
Rip boats and stuff.
I like the concept of camping. I haven't done it in a while. Last time I went, I got really sick, and that's my fault for doing that. But we basically just brought a bunch of bourbon up there, and I just made it disappear.
Yeah.
It's a magic
trick.
So
you just drank too much. That's not getting sick. You drank too much.
No, I drank way too much. And, you know, it's one of those where you're, like, sitting in front of a fire, just taking nips off of bourbon, just bang, 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 bang. And then you go to stand up.
Yeah, and you hurt.
And the world
Your body's
ends.
Hurting.
Yeah.
That happened to me in Blacksburg around a little fire pit when we went to a Virginia Tech game. And then we're going to the game on Saturday. Friday, we just were hanging out around the fire pit, got a little topsy-turvy. It happens. No, I don't like camping. And I'm blessed to have a father who his dad made him go camping. My dad is like, he was one step short of becoming an Eagle Scout. In the Boy Scouts. And once he got to like high school, he was like, I don't have to do this anymore. And so he stopped, but he had to do all this camping stuff. And my dad's camped from Germany to, he's camped in Germany, camped in Italy, camped in, obviously Colorado, Georgia, the whole deal. He's had to do all this camping and he hates it. And so he was like, I'm not making my kids camp. And I've gone camp, tried to go camping with friends and been like, you know what? I think I'm just going to sleep in the car, man. This sucks. What happened? Did I lose everyone?
No, I'm listening to your dad's camping stories. Camping.
Yeah, my dad hated camping. I don't like camping. I mean, my wife loves camping. So I guess at some point we're probably
going
to.
Yeah, you're going camping.
I'm not going. Oh, did I tell you guys what Ryan did? So Ryan also had a dad who wanted him to do camping. Well, Ryan had a dad who wanted him to do camping, not didn't like camping. And Ryan's like, camping sucks, dude. Ryan Taylor, former guest on the show. We'll have him back here pretty soon. But his wife thinks camping is like a cool, like fun thing. Not like hard work. So he loaded up her pack with a bunch of cans. Like, he gave her the pack that had cake. Ryan's done a bunch of things that I just – Andy in the building. Yeah, Andy, I was just telling a story how my buddy Ryan, he loaded up his wife's pack when they went camping with a bunch of, like, cans for the food they were going to eat. And then he put some rocks in the bottom, which is not so that she would not want to carry the pack, but she really loved it. And then he put their tent on a rock, which you're not supposed to do.
That doesn't seem comfortable at all.
He's just trying to discourage her from camping, but she had a great time. It's the same as when they were biking through New Zealand and he rented an electric bike and rented her a regular bike. And they went on this 20-mile ride.
This sounds evil. Like,
he's my best friend in the world. I love him, but he's just like,
honey, you pedal. I'm gonna sit here.
Yeah, but he's just like, I don't want to do these things. I just want to sit by the beach.
Well, I'm with him on that. See, I just want to sit, period. Like that, I want to stay home. If I have I might mow the lawn. Like that might be my activity. But my wife's, you know, wants to go to theme parks and do all that. Now, she does not want to camp. She hates camping. So that's
good.
I'm out on that. So.
No, I listen, theme parks, and I've got a 2-year-old who's 2.5-year-old. How old are your kids?
Mine are 11 and 9. So they're
actionable.
We graduated from Disney and went to Universal because the rides are better, but it's still standing in line to get hot. And I can be hot in Florida anytime. I don't need to pay to stand in line and be hot.
That's spot on, Andy. Give everybody listen. This is the show. So
we can get going.
tell everybody, Andy Staples from The Athletic. Give everyone your social where they can find your work. so that we can get that done, including the podcast. So let's knock that out now, and then we're going to get into football and a little bit of lawn stuff.
So you can find me at The Athletic. Please subscribe. We're $1 a month for the first year. That's the deal we're running right now. If you want to listen to the podcast, this is The Andy Staples Show. It is available wherever podcasts are available. So Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever you like, we're there. If you want to listen to the most recent show, well, actually, Felder, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but my Friday show, I had to pay up on a bet. I went all in on Pittsburgh. I decided this is the year that Pittsburgh's going to finally be good. And my co-host, Ari Wasserman, warned me. He said, don't ever do that. Gamblers will tell you never touch Pittsburgh. And I said, no. Pitt's going to be legit this year. They're going to beat NC State. And it's funny because he's like, I'm not even going to make you use the spread because the spread was like 14. He's like, you can do it straight up. I said, fine, I'm taking Pitt straight up. They're going to beat NC State. And if they don't, I have to eat mayonnaise, which if you know me, mayonnaise is the worst food on earth. It is the most evil condiment there is. It is the devil's pomade. It tastes like despair feels. My body is just it just tenses up at the thought of it. I hate mayonnaise so much. Well, spoiler alert, the Wolfpack won. Felder loves when the Wolfpack wins. But so I had to eat mayonnaise. Well, I had to attempt to eat mayonnaise. I had a giant spoon of mayonnaise that I put in my mouth yesterday. There's video. There's audio. I highly encourage you to check it out.
Andy, let's keep things in the ACC, man. This episode's going to drop after Clemson and Miami have done their thing over the weekend. But I am kind of curious to get your updated like ACC power rankings, man. Like, do you think Miami is legit? Like, is this just Clemson and Notre Dame and a bunch of drifters? Like, what's your take?
No, I think Miami is a different program right now because they finally are running the offense they should have been running 10 years ago. And I may be saying this and people may be listening and Clemson beat them by a bunch of points, but my guess is Miami will have some offensive success against Clemson. And if you think about it, you know, in the Mark Richt era, Miami had good defenses thanks to Manny Diaz, but they were incompetent on offense. And the first year of Manny wasn't much better, but I do think with Rhett Lashley there that they finally got an offense that fits the kind of guys you can recruit at Miami. And then you bring in De'Eriq King, who's run a bunch of different up-tempo spread offenses in his career at Houston. He's the perfect guy to come in and say, look, I've seen all this before. I know what I'm doing. And I'm going to show you how this works for a year. And then you can go recruit some quarterbacks that can play like this every year. And I do think it feels like this could be a launching point for a much more competitive Miami going forward, where they are a team that can compete in the ACC most years. Now, where do they fit in the power rankings? I'd say they're second or third. I don't know. It's a shame we don't get to see them against Notre Dame, or do we get them against Notre Dame? I can never remember if they got added or not. But, you know, that's the thing. They are different than they were. I mean, they could not be any worse on offense than they were at the end of last season. And it's just so refreshing to watch an offense that works for Miami. And it seems like the guys are having fun.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on that with that button you put on it with the guys are having fun. And they do not get Miami Miami does not get Notre Dame unless we see them in the ACC championship game.
Right, in the championship game. Yep.
Right. So we'll see how that works out. The big thing for me, and I'm going to go from the ACC to the SEC, and let's talk about the season opening upset of LSU, LSU's upset by Mississippi State. You watching that football game, and I know everybody's raining down hell on Bo Pelini essentially, do you think that the players maybe aren't ready to play what Bo Pelini usually does, which is play a ton of zone?
I think that probably was what – and remember, Derek Stingley has the episode the night before. And so that changes what you can do in that situation because you've practiced all week assuming Derek Stingley's going to play, and suddenly he's gone. He's off the board, and that's your best player. So I think, you know, he's getting killed for it, but – now, here's my thing, Felder. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they're too young. But if Arkansas can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
You and your five stars can do it. You can figure it out. And the thing was, you know, LSU's offense started clicking toward the, you know, probably into the second quarter, and they really started to, you could tell the light came on for them. And so I think they probably would have been able to score enough points to win that game had they just come out in zone and played zone the whole time. But it's, I mean, this is going to be a weird year. I don't think LSU is going to win the SEC or the national title anyway. So better that everybody learned something early on, and now they can move on with their lives.
Hey, let's keep it in the SEC, Andy. You're in Gainesville, right? Like, you're actually in the 3-5-2. All right.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, look, Florida's program, and you can speak to this better than most because of your proximity.
The defense is bad.
Well, look, the defense is bad, but this is a program where the fans want you to hang 40 and 50 points on everybody.
Yeah, you got it. You nailed it. This, I always laughed when Urban Meyer was there, and he won two national titles in three seasons, and people still complained because he didn't beat people the way Steve Spurrier beat people.
Yeah.
Like, they want you to win 52-7. Like, it has to be that. And it just, they love this. They love the explosive offense. So they almost don't care that the defense isn't that good. But the fact of the matter is, it's not as good as it was. And, you know, that's the part that they've got to worry about going forward, because the offense, as good as it is, when they play a team like Georgia, they won't be able to score as much as they've been scoring on some of these other teams, and they will need the defense to help them out a little bit. But it's just, nobody wants to dwell too much on any potential issues just because they're so happy. It's been so long for Florida fans since they had an offense that could score consistently. I mean, you really have to go back to 2008, you know, the Tebow's junior year, where they really could score consistently. Once Percy Harvin left, it was completely different, and they never could get that back. And so I think they're just all happy to see points on the board, and they're not worrying as much about the points on the other side of the board, though they should be, because I'm with you, Felder, on that one. Now, I think we're going to find out that Ole Miss has a really good offense. They're going to do this to a lot of teams. But the South Carolina thing, I was at the South Carolina game, and they were in the game in the fourth quarter. I think Muschamp manages that game differently from a time standpoint. That may be a one-score game with South Carolina having the ball at the end. So I just think Florida has got to get better on defense. I think it's a case that there's a bunch of guys that are playing roles that they did not play last year. There's mm-hmm. new guys in those roles. Now, they did get to play some last year. Like, Cox couldn't play because he had to sit out. But, like, Moon, Kyrie Campbell, all those guys were playing. To Darryl Slayton, those guys were playing roles. They just weren't playing big roles. Now they have to adjust to that.
Yeah, and I think Clemson's done a good job in that same situation of guys who played a year ago stepping up. A team that I don't think has done a really good job of that, Oklahoma, Texas, and again, this comes out after the Red River rivalry game, or the Red River shootout, if you will. Just, I don't even want to focus on that game. I just want to talk Big 12 as sort of a big picture. I mean, if Oklahoma does rise up and win this ball game, the Big 12's kind of sunk, right?
I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma State is their hope, but the thing is, you look at Oklahoma State's record in Bedlam games, and you know, can they be consistent throughout the year? They've had to play with a third string quarterback who, let's be honest, looks like he could be pretty good for a lot of this season. So it's going to be strange. I mean, the Oklahoma thing, losing the first two games in conference play, everybody's freaking out about that. But really, did you think you were going to have a Heisman finalist at quarterback every single year? Because it's not, it doesn't happen. Like, so they've put a lot on those quarterbacks, and they've gotten a lot out of them. I mean, let's be honest, the run of Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray to Jalen Hurts is pretty amazing. But Spencer Rattler, who's going to be a great quarterback, I don't doubt that. But asking him as a redshirt freshman to do what those guys did when all of them had been starters at the Power 5 level before they ever started a game at Oklahoma, like, I don't think that's fair. I think at some point the defense has to help them a little bit. And I didn't think Alex Grinch did a terrible job last year. I thought they went from horrible the year before he got there to average on defense last year. And average, I mean, if you put an average defense on that Kyler Murray team, that team might be able to win the national title. Mm-hmm. But they were just – they were abysmal that year. They moved up to serviceable. But the problem is you can't just be serviceable this year and win the Big 12. Defense has to be good, and they have not gotten to the point where they can be good. I still think it's a deal where they just can't get elite defensive linemen in there for some reason, and I don't know why they haven't been able to, basically since Gerald McCoy. And Lincoln Riley knows it's an issue. He's known it's an issue since he got to Oklahoma, but he just can't seem to get those guys, and that's a problem. And Texas is an entirely different set of issues where you've got this great talent profile, and they just can never be consistent. They can never seem to put it all together multiple games at a time. And again, this is after the game, so let me put my prediction hat on. I'm guessing it was a pretty close game. Maybe even Texas won, because Texas plays Oklahoma tight. You know, you look at the last 5 years, Oklahoma has dominated the Big 12 relative to what Texas has done in the Big 12. But all the games between Oklahoma and Texas have been really close. The Texas's problem isn't when it plays Oklahoma. Texas's problem is when it plays everybody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Andy, last football question for me before we talk grass. I mean, for someone who has a national show and has a national outlook on college football, Felder and I were talking about the Pac-12. Somebody's got to go 7-0 out there for it to matter, right? Because of this condensed schedule.
Oh, absolutely. I don't see how anybody gets into the playoff from there without being undefeated. And I think not only just undefeated, I think you got to be pretty dominant. And you know, look at all that Oregon's lost. I think if Oregon had the full team they expected to have, then there would have been a good chance that Oregon made the playoff. That talent level has gone way up since Mario Cristobal took over, and he knows what he wants. He knows what he's trying to build. He's going to get there, I think, just based on what we've seen. But losing Penei Sewell, you know, losing Javon Holland, and they got D'Amador Lenore, I saw, came back. But it's just it's not enough now to be that kind of team. You're either going to – you know, somebody's going to jump up and beat you, or people are just going to say, oh, it's the Pac-12. You have no basis for comparison. You don't have the game you were supposed to play against Ohio State to show what you look like against another elite team. And then, you know, you got USC, which is also – very talented this year, and you know, all your Clay Helton questions, I don't know if they get postponed because this is not the kind of year to talk about that stuff, but you know, they should conceivably be in the mix for this thing. And then Arizona State would be the other one I would think would have a shot, but I just don't know about the playoff, just because I have a hard time seeing somebody going undefeated and just dominating the whole way through.
Well, that's the thing. This is the last football one I wanted to get to. What's the infighting going to look like between the three conferences that started earlier, quote unquote, on time with the Pac, or excuse me, with the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC, and then the conferences that are coming up, pulling up late with the Big 10 and the Pac-12? What's that infighting going to look like this year? Because these teams, like the ACC and the SEC, particularly. They're not just going to give in to the idea that, yeah, I guess you guys deserve a spot.
Yeah, I think if Ohio State is what we think they're going to be, nobody's going to complain about them getting in.
Sure.
But it's a good year for the SEC if they want to get two teams in, and they might have two capable of getting in. Because I think the ACC is going to get one in, because it's either going to be Clemson or a team that beats Clemson. Because you think about – Clemson will probably either go undefeated or win the ACC with a loss. But if somebody else were to win the ACC, my guess is they'd have to be undefeated or one loss, and they would have one or two wins against Clemson. So I'd be cool with that, and I think most people would. I think most people would find that to be a very compelling entrant in the college football playoff, whoever that would be. So I don't think that's an issue. So then there's two spots right there. Because I do think Ohio State is head and shoulders above the rest of the Big Ten and deserving of a spot. If they're sitting there undefeated, they absolutely deserve to go play for a national title. So then the SEC, what happens? Do you get two teams in? Does a Big 12 team make it? I don't think there's a group of five team. BYU is the really interesting one this year. If they've gotten to play a full, like a real schedule for them, I don't know what they, I don't think they'd make the playoff, but I think they'd be in a near six bowl. And I still think they might.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. All right, Andy, we've talked college football enough. Let's get to it. Tell folks what your grass situation is, and then we're going to get into, you know, what you like to do in the lawn, and then we're probably going to put, we're going to play around a dream garden.
Absolutely. So we have Zoysia in the back, and Zoysia is lovely. It's the best backyard grass you will ever find. It's soft. If you got kids, they love to go run around and play on it. It was here when we got here, but the previous owners had these huge mean dogs, and they so they had created sort of an obstacle course throughout much of the backyard with a bunch of stuff to keep the dogs from digging under the fence. And so I ripped all that out and then resodded with Zoysia to make it match the rest of the backyard. It's great. We have St. Augustine in the front. And I've always felt like St. Augustine is the perfect front yard grass. It looks nice. It does it like Zoysia goes dormant, so it browns in the winter. St. Augustine doesn't do that. It holds up. But the thing is, if you get other stuff in your St. Augustine, or if you get some bare patches, it's really hard to deal with. And so my wife says, we love the Zoysia in the back. Why don't we just put the Zoysia in the front? I'm like, no, because it's not you got to have St. Augustine in your front yard. Our neighbors have St. Augustine across the street. Our neighbors to the right have St. Augustine. Now, our neighbor to the left of us resodded with Zoysia in his front yard. So, and it's a small front yard. We're not talking about much. When we make the decision, because I think we're going to have to resod either way. I think that this particular lawn of St. Augustine has about run its course. So I may try to plug it, but I honestly think it probably needs to be resodded too. So the question is, are we going to resod with St. Augustine or Zoysia? My wife is adamant that she wants Zoysia. I'm leaning that way now, and I just don't know. It's hard. The St. Augustine thing, it goes back to my childhood. So we had Bahia in front of my house growing up, and Bahia is nasty grass. It's got these big, long seed heads and snot. It shouldn't be in your front yard. Let's put it that way. And so my dad and I ripped all that out, and we resodded with St. Augustine. And I remember being so proud when that lawn finally took, and it was so beautiful. And I was like, okay, this is what a front yard is supposed to look like. And so that I have a hard time letting that go.
Oh, I'm right there. Hartle, you want to get in there?
I'm curious, Andy. Do you mow your own grass, and if so, what's your style? How do you go about your business?
I am about to mow my own grass later today. So, the front yard here in this we've been in this house for about 3.5 years. The front yard is so small that you don't do anything except just the concentric. You know, just go around the outside, then keep going to the inside because you're not going to see a pattern anyway. The backyard, I do the vertical stripes. I'm no kegs and eggs, but Adam Kramer has some serious game on that front. But no, I just like the nice vertical stripes. It looks like the outfield at a major league ballpark.
Now you don't have leaves in Florida though, right? Like you don't have to contend with what we're dealing with here.
Oh, we have leaves. We just get them. They drop it at a later date. So you are dealing with leaves now. I will be dealing with leaves in January and February. Okay. And it will be exactly the same thing. There will be much raking.
So, well, let's get into that because this earlier in the show we spent a lot of time talking about leaf removal. What is your what's your style when it comes to leaf removal? Because I have made the mistake of waiting for all of the leaves to drop and then bagging 45.
Oh, I've done that too
one time. And so, what you got any leaf removal tips?
So, on that front, we had a lot of leaf dropping this past winter, and it happened at a weird time. It was a warm winter, and then suddenly it was a cold winter, and then everything dropped at once. So normally I will kind of rake it as it comes. I had no choice this time. 56 bags of leaves.
Whoa.
56 bags.
What kind of trees are these? What kind of trees?
Oaks. It's water oaks and live oaks are the main culprits. So, and then we've got one tree in our yard that the tree guy says is actually a weed, but it's now grown to about 25 feet. So I haven't decided if we're going to remove it. No, it's not a mimosa. I don't even remember what it's called. It's not pretty and it drops leaves all the time. So that one I think we're going to do something about, because we planted magnolias when we got here and we're kind of letting them go. And we got some crepe myrtles that are starting to get healthy. And so we got to get rid of those, but, or not the crepe myrtles, but the weed tree, whatever it's called. And, but yeah, so I will probably start raking at some point in January and just try to keep up with it, because if you don't keep up with it, like, it will completely cover your driveway. It will cover all of your grass. It gets bad.
Hartzell.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because Florida is just such a sandy soil climate. Like, it's literally, it's its own world down there. Like, I can't relate to trying to grow grass in sandy soil, but you're talking about sodding everything, Andy, and I guess that's way easier than trying to grow it from seed down there, right?
Oh, yeah, you don't grow from seed. You sod down here. That's, if you want to grow from seed, like, but the Bahia I was talking about, you can grow that, but it's so much easier to put down sod. Now, St. Augustine, you can plug. And mm-hmm. you can throw a piece of sod down, and if the rest of the lawn is healthy enough, it'll take.
Yep.
I've been trying to do some research on the age of lawns, like how long should you reasonably expect a lawn to last, and that's the part I'm trying to figure out with the front yard is, can I get it healthy again, or do I just need to cut bait and resod? And I think I probably just need to cut bait and resod.
Yeah, I hear you. Andy, the other thing that we do here on the show, we're going to get you out of here we'll get you out of here soon. We do Rad Dad moments, and we're all kind of living that quarantine lifestyle at this point right now. And so you have to come up with Rad Dad moments. I am doing a movie night tonight where we're going to watch.
Nice.
I bought a projector. I bought a screen. We're doing a neighborhood movie night, social distance movie night.
Very
we're
nice.
Gonna watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So if you got a rad dad moment or any dad tips, lay it on us.
Well, just keep them going. One thing I did is showed them where iMovie was on their phones, and we started messing around, and so they started making movie trailers. And my kids one day disappeared upstairs and made a horror movie trailer that legit, like, I'd go see the movie. they used it, like, one of the bathrooms upstairs is a Jack and Jill bathroom, so it has a very long kind of narrow mm-hmm. hallway. They used that as the main the main location. I was like, damn, I'm scared. This is great. But that's the thing, like, when they were home, and they were home for five, they're back in school now, but they were home for five straight months, and mm-hmm. You just have to find ways to keep things interesting and fresh. And anything that kind of stokes their creativity, that's gold. I mean, and the thing is, I keep telling them, I'm like, mess around with this, play with this, because it might be a job someday. You never know.
No, you're spot on. Listen, I got a 2.5-year-old that's obsessed with Jurassic Park. And so we are, during bath time, I bought her a helicopter. And
nice.
She does the helicopter Jurassic Park arrival to the theme song.
my son, well, both my kids take piano. And one of the first things my son did once he kind of figured out what all the notes were and where he's supposed to have his hands was figure out how to play the Jurassic Park theme.
Boom. That's remarkable. Andy, we're going to let you get out of here. Make sure you plug your stuff one more time, and then we'll get you on your way, man.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Andy_Staples. Go to The Athletic, and please subscribe. And also The Andy Staples Show, available wherever you find podcasts. And you can subscribe to that and rate and review. And you can watch me or listen to me eat mayonnaise and nearly vomit.
Well, what kind of mayonnaise?
Duke's. It was... Yeah, we figured our friends who sponsor a bowl game, and but you know, I don't blame them. I think any mayonnaise would have done this to me.
All right, you cooking up anything good?
So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do this weekend. I was thinking about getting some ribs. I've been craving ribs, and I just, you know, that's a pork butt. You got to commit. That's like a 2-day commitment because you're basically cooking it overnight. It's going to be 16 to 18 hours. But ribs, you can all – as cooking barbecue goes, it's the closest thing you get to an impulse buy. Like, oh, yeah, I can get these in 4 hours from now. I'll have something to eat. So I'm thinking about maybe doing that for college football Saturday.
Boom, there we go. That's Andy Staples, folks. Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, see you guys.
What did you think? I thought Staples had some really good points when it comes to the ACC, the SEC, and then obviously sort of the infighting that's going to occur when it comes to college football.
Yeah, good get by you. I've always enjoyed Andy's work. And sure. as a guy who lives in SEC country, right, I think it's going to be very interesting, and the haters out there are already, you know, doing
their thing. Ready to go.
But I think we're, what is it, mid-October? I think we're going to get two SEC teams in. I think it's I think it's coming.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head when he talked about not expecting anybody to be super dominant in the Pac-12. I think Ohio State's a different beast because that team is so supremely talented. And we'll see what happens with them from the running back spot. I think that's the one of the question marks that I do have. But I do look at Ohio State and I wonder – I think Ohio State's a lot easier as a team to get in than anyone from the Pac-12.
That's fine, but I think, you know, the folks who are just discounting Ohio State's schedule and saying, yeah, they'll be there, they're going to be 8-0 and playing for a Big Ten championship. Okay. I mean, that's fine. They'll be favored in all their games. It's not a given that they're just going to roll through this schedule. That's all I'm saying. It's not a given that they're going to roll.
It's not a given that they're going to roll, but I do think it is expect is not even the right word. I think that they are better than everyone else.
Absolutely.
Like, their roster is better than all the other rosters, and they don't have an idiot in charge like some of these other schools that have really talented rosters.
Yeah, but there's one game every year, and it's kind of like the Clemson rule. Like, Clemson's way better than everybody in the ACC, but there's the North Carolina game last year. For Ohio State, it was the Maryland game. Like, they're going to be in a one-score game late in the fourth quarter. It happens every year. So, we'll see. But look, if Ohio State doesn't run the table, and you've got no unbeatens in an 8-game Big Ten, and you got no unbeatens in a 7-game Pac-12, then what, Felder?
Then, I mean... The ACC, I think, is royally screwed because Miami's playing Clemson this week. Clemson's going to beat them. I'm saying this before they even play the game, and I know this comes out after, but Clemson's going to beat them. But then Miami may end up in the ACC championship game, and Miami's going to lose their chance because Clemson's going to beat them twice if that's what happens. Notre Dame will get beat twice if that's what happens. And I think that's going to be the part that's going to be tough for the ACC to swallow, where they don't have a team, maybe UNC, that has a one loss in the ACC championship game if they play a tight game against Clemson. But the reality is the SEC is more firmly positioned to have a one loss whoever get in because they don't play in the SEC championship game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
So
make
we'll
sense.
See. Other than that, I mean, going back to gardening, my task for this coming up week is going to be to harvest some peppers. It's also going to be to reposition my pot so they get a little bit more sun. And I think this is the last thing we're going to end on. I think I'm going to just take over my neighbor's sidewalk.
Is that going to be a contentious thing, or are they going to allow you to take over their sidewalk?
I think she'll allow it. She never leaves her house. She's just in there. Her plants are on her deck, not on the sidewalk. I think I'm going to take over the sidewalk.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. We got anything else we got to get to?
I'm overseeding today. It's happening.
Yeah?
I have mowed my lawn. This is the front lawn because the backyard is a little bit of a work in progress with some construction. So I'm gonna hold off.
Oh, no, no, no. We didn't even get to talk about that. The backyard construction.
We can save it for next week. I've lost the playground debate. There is a playground that's staring at me in the back corner of my yard right now. So it's,
what do we got? What are we talking from a playground standpoint? We got swings. We got monkey bars.
It's everything. I mean, there's
swings,
no there's
monkey bars.
There's
slide.
No,
we got the little
there's no
at the top.
Monkey bars, but there's a tire swing. There's swings. There's a rock wall. There's a slide. There's
a
gate.
Your kids are going to be out there free soloing.
No, I mean, they're potentially. It's like 5 feet tall. The point is, Felder, it's here. It's been erected. Okay. It's ready to go. But it needs to be filled in with mulch and the exterior needs to be, outlined with a bunch of wood because we had to grade this corner of the yard.
So it's sunken in a little bit.
Yeah. It's actually going to look aesthetically, which is my biggest concern with a playground, it actually is going to look really nice. But sure. I'm not touching the backyard right now because they're still going to have to bring a bobcat in here and drop all this mulch.
Ooh, that's going to really get into
No. It's been dry. It's okay. It's fine.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to rain all weekend, isn't it?
It is. Today's the day they're finishing this project. We've got okay. So, you know, this episode will be released after Hurricane Delta does its thing. But yeah, we're about to get 72 straight hours of rain, about an inch and a half of rain. Nothing too heavy, okay? But I mowed the front yard down to, for me, Felder, what is a very low height on the mower, 2.75. That was as low as I could go without, like, literally scorching.
Right. You don't want to hurt it.
And there's uneven terrain. So, you know, as I'm going over some of these bumps and these fucking moles who have dug tunnels underneath my yard.
You are scalping some of it.
Correct. So I can't go much lower than 2.75. So I've mowed it. All the clippings have been pushed to the side. I aerated it 2 days before mowing it. So we are ready for seed. And today it is getting a lot of seed, and I'm going to dress it with some topsoil, and yes. we're going to let it marinate this weekend when the rain comes. So I will take some before pictures, and I'm really hoping, man, I didn't follow instructions as well as I probably could have or should have a year ago. So I'm really hoping that this is going to pay off. So
I mean, you're feeling the need for seed.
Oh my God. Yes. The need for seed, baby.
All right. Wanted to give a shout out to Meredith, who sent a picture of her like schematic, which is really cool because Meredith is obviously one of our listener friends who is working on doing a cottage garden. She got some advice from Stephen B, and she loved the advice, and so she's going to actually work on – she's getting that cottage garden going, which I'm really excited about. Also, last thing, hibiscus. So we got an interaction from Support for Truth, and literally it is – they were researching the best fertilizer for plumeria and hibiscus, and they went with a high phosphorus fertilizer, and oops – phosphorus not good for them. So make sure you check out individual plants when it comes to – and check out what your fertilizer blend is like because some plants need more nitrogen and need more potassium than they need phosphorus. And those are super important because it can really – if you get it wrong, it's not going to go great. And as we move into fall, I will say this, look for lower nitrogen fertilizers so that you can develop more root growth. Because as it gets cold, you don't want the plant trying to spend its energy trying to green up. What you want them to spend their energy on is root development. So that's important.
Trust the science, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Be a science boy.
Yeah. Follow the science.
Yeah. That's all we're saying. Shout out to Ryan Mitchell, obviously, for the art, the Humble Onion. Getting a lot of love, by the way.
I think we need to talk about t-shirts. My wife tried to lecture me on what color and what consistency of shirt we should look into. She thinks a Heather Gray would look really nice.
With a Humble Onion on it?
Yeah. So
with the Let's Grow flag.
I was like, look, if you want to be a brand rep, submit your resume and cover letter and we'll talk, okay?
Yeah, I'll interview her.
So for now, we have no gear, but I think there is some momentum growing for gear.
Yeah, so momentum is growing for gear. If you want gear, if you want some hand in the dirt, gear, let us know, and then we'll get into the talks. So if you, everyone that responds with, yes, I want gear, if we get, let's call it 100 people across all media platforms. If we get 100 people that say they want gear, then we're gonna push this rock down the hill.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
My man, look at you doing the work. Rate, review, subscribe. Let me check. I'm gonna go double check to make sure we didn't get any new reviews. Oops, I clicked the wrong button. That's the wrong podcast. Clicked the wrong thing. Yeah, so we need some reviews on iTunes too. So do that, and then we'll holler at us if we're talking gear, because you know we love the gear. Oh, by the way, speaking of gear, did I tell you I redid my grill?
Yeah, you got grates.
Got the grates. Got the burner covers. It's like a new grill. We did two podcasts together on back-to-back days. I don't remember which one I've talked to you about.
It's okay, buddy. It's a good problem to have. We're everywhere. It's all right.
Like, I'm not sure. Did we talk about this on this, or did we talk about this on this? We talked about the playground on the other one, and now we just talked about the playground again. It's, oh, my kid went to a pumpkin patch. Rad Dad. We'll wrap with Rad Dad, and then we're out of here. This is going very long. Andy Staples was great. My kid went to a pumpkin patch with her mother on Monday, and she had a great time.
Was this an urban pumpkin patch?
No. She drove out of the city, my man. She used like an eighth of a tank of gas.
That's awesome. Was there a hayride?
She did a hayride. She fed some goats.
Oh, wow.
Fed some goats, held a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
My wife had to take the chickens away from her and get the chickens herself because my daughter was trying to grab the chickens by their head.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to go ahead and kill this, bring it home for dinner. Dad will like this. This is fresh.
Did you guys get any pumpkins?
Yeah, I'm staring out the window right now. We got 5 pumpkins.
So you got that like that stairwell set, right? Like you got the little festive fall stairwell, right, on your walk up?
They're on the deck.
Same thing.
We got the big boy that we're going to carve into the jack-o'-lantern once we get a little closer to Halloween. We got a Savannah-sized pumpkin that's like, you know, one of those little, I don't know, it's like the size of a, it's big, just a little bit bigger than a softball.
Yep.
Then we got the 3 of these little boys, like the really small ones that are like the size of, like if you smashed a baseball down.
Yeah, classy as hell, man.
And my wife left them on the front porch, like on the downstairs. And I was like, you know that we do need to bring these up to the deck, right? And she's like, what? Why? And I was like, because the rats are going to eat them if we leave them down here. Mm-hmm. That was a very telling moment in Chicago of literally watching pumpkins, especially when you carve them into jack-o'-lanterns and they have the removable lid or they have the holes in the front. I took the dog for a walk and you could just see, it looked like pumpkins just had their guts spilling out.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It's gross. What about you? What's up with you from a rad dad, man?
We are doing the pumpkin patch this weekend and we've got a spot that we go to. It's like,
is it an urban pumpkin patch?
No, because I don't live in a city, Felder. You live in a concrete jungle. Shout out to the real ones out here who go to, you know, pumpkin patches and these farms. So no, man, we're just gonna do our thing. I've been letting my son ride on the lawnmower with me during this project, which has been enjoyable. I let him steer. Just dadding it. Nice. You know, just absolutely living the dream out here.
That's planting the seed too. That's playing the seed for chores. Like this
the
is
transition.
Bro, let me just tell you this. I cannot wait until these kids have to like actually earn an allowance because I'm going to make them do it all. Take out the trash, load the dishwasher, maybe not like clean the gutters, like nothing extreme, but like just do your part around here. Because right now, I'm telling you, man, like the clothes folding, finding the matching socks, it's not easy, man. Starting to wear on me a little bit. So I need these kids to start pulling their weight. I cannot, like, in a couple of years, it's on. Like, I'm just telling you that right now. It's on. Free labor. Let's go.
Folks, this has been Hand in the Dirt, a gardening podcast about football for Stephen Hartzell, for Michael Serber. Obviously, thank you so much to Andy Staples. Make sure you check him out on The Athletic. And I'm Michael Felder. Make sure you follow me at In the Bleachers on Twitter and follow Hand in the Dirt at HitDPod. On Instagram, on Twitter, and of course, if you got an email, you got a voice note, send it in to hitdpod@gmail.com. This has been fun. Let's grow.